We're holding on Pei Bays, Umud Bays, 14 lines from the bottom, about two-thirds of the way down the wide lines. The Mishnah had mentioned a couple of cases where Kanoim Poigim Boy, and we dealt with at great length yesterday, one of them of Haboy Laramis and the whole story of Zimri and Cosby. So now the Mishnah had mentioned you have another case of an extrajudicial punishment. Namely, we said that there was a case of a Kohen who serves in the Beis Hamikdash, when he's Tomei, where we said, instead of based in punishing him, the young Kohanim would take him out of the Azara and they would beat him up and then bash him over the head with sticks and kill him that way. So the Gemara says, Bominate of Achabahuna mid of Sheshis. So if Achabahuna asks of Sheshis, such a person, we're saying that the other Kohanim would beat him up and kill him. But is he chayav misa b'dei shamayim, meaning let's say they didn't get him or not? By the way, we talk about kodesh and we talk about misa b'dei shamayim. What the difference is between them, there's a couple of different understandings among the Mephoshim. Rashi, in a couple of places, explains that it means that kodesh means that not only he dies young, but also his young children die, that also his young children die in his lifetime as well, Rahman al-Islam. As opposed to Misvi Deshemayim, only affects him and not his children. And then you have a different explanation that Tosfos brings elsewhere, that no, both of them is only him, not his children. The difference is when he dies. Kores would be before 50, and Misvi Deshemayim would be before 60. With that said, though, there are other places where the Gemara implies that Kores is before 60, which is why Rashi has to explain that it means that Kores means something else on top of that, the children as well. There are a few places in connection with Kores where the Torah says, Aririm Yu, or Aririm Yamusu, which means that they'll be and they'll die childless, which Rashi explains on Chumash means that if he didn't have children until now, he won't have, and if he did have children, then they'll die. The question is whether that applies across the board to any case of Kores, or is that only in certain specific cases? In any case, so now they asked Rav Sheshis that is such a person chayav misa b'dei shamayim or not? Rav Sheshis answers Tinisuha. Well, let's look at our Mishnah. Koyin Shishimish Batoma. We said that a Koyin who served in the Beis Hamikdash when he's Tomei. His fellow Kohanim don't bring him to Beis Din to get punished over there. Ella, they just do the punishment on their own. Pircha Kohuna, the young Kohanim take him outside the Azara, and they smash open his brain with sticks. Now, says Rav Sheshis, it's true it doesn't say Misa B'dei Shemayim in the Mishnah, but consider, says Rav Sheshis, V'isakadaitach M'chayev B'dei Shemayim, it has to be, therefore, the implication is that he's not Chayev Misa B'dei Shemayim. Otherwise, if he was, Lishpakeh to Likto B'dei Shemayim. Why don't they just leave him alone, let him be punished and killed B'dei Shemayim, and why do they have to take matters into their own hands? So the fact that we're saying that they do seems to imply that, no, there wouldn't be Misa B'dei Shemayim, and therefore, in other words, he would get away scot-free, and therefore the Kohanim don't want that, and therefore they're zealous for Hashem's honor, similar to the Kanoim Poigim Boy, and therefore they go and kill him. So the Gemara asks back the Elam. So in other words, Rav Sheshis is saying in short that no, he's not Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim, and if it weren't for the young Kohanim, he would get away with it. So the Gemara asks, Elamai ain't chayiv. So then what are you telling me then, Rav Sheshis, that he's not chayiv misa b'dei shemayim? Well, then you have to ask, mi ikamidi d'rachmona patre, how do you ever have a case where the Torah Pater is somebody from Misa, and we're going to go and kill him? Doesn't the fact that we have permission to kill him show that he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim? Now, the Ran points out, we learned yesterday, at least according to Rashi's understanding of things, we talked about the Yad Ramah had learned that a number of the things that we said that Kanoim Poigim Boy are all Midrabanon, but Rashi had learned that they're Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, so the Ran says, well, in that case, then what do you mean? Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, then that's that. So it has nothing to do with whether otherwise he would be Chayiv Misa or not. And he says that, fine, even you have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, but as far as a Chiyuv Misa, there's a logical that there would be a chiyuv misa that's a chiyuv misa, a case where people can actually kill him, and it says l'moshe misinai, and there's not at least some kind of remez in the Torah that the person is chayiv misa at all, or that he shouldn't be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. So that's the Gemara's question. Sure, we could easily say it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that they're able to kill him, but there has to be some kind of remez for the idea that at least that he is chayav misa, and therefore we're saying that instead of leaving it up to Hashem to kill him later on when he gets to be 60 years old or whatever, instead we're going to take matters into our own hands now. But doesn't that itself imply, therefore, that he must be chayav misa? Otherwise, how could we do that? So the Gemara says, well, why not? V'loy, why not? Or why do you find that so hard to understand? V'hatnan, we learned earlier, Mishalok of Hashanah, that we had a couple of days ago, and Pei Aleph Amud Beis, that a person got Malkus and then got Malkus again for the same thing, based in Machnisin Kippah. So we said that based in puts him in the kippah, and they give him a bare amount of food and water over there, and then eventually they give him barley to eat, and his stomach splits open. So we see, there you go, Rachmana Patre. So the Torah has patred him from Misa, Va'anan Katlinenlay, and yet we're killing him through this kippah. So we see that, because after all, Minat Torah, all he would have gotten without the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim or the Din D'Rabbanan to that effect, we would have just kept on giving him Malkus again and again. So we see that he was not Chayiv Misa, and yet we cause him to die. The Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. But Malkus Chokrisis has skin, because we're not just talking about where the guy is Chayav Malkus for any old mitzvah. We're talking about where he's Chayav Malkus a couple of times for something which is Chayav Kores. And as we said, where it's the same thing that's Chayav Kores again and again, to Gavra Baktolahu. So essentially, at this point, this person is Chayav Misa, he is Chayav Kores. So therefore, so all it is then that we're saying that in this case, then Beis Din can make things happen faster. That doesn't show that where there's no Chiyuv Kores or Mrs. Beis Din or no Chiyuv Kores or Misa B'dei Shemayim, that Beis Din should be able to cause his death, or that the young Kohenim should be able to cause his death. No such thing necessarily. All right, the Gemara says, V'ha'goneh. Well, what about another case in the Mishnah? A person who steals clay shoris, as we learned yesterday, kasva is one of the little things that are used to hold the lechem aponim apart so they don't get moldy. One of those little half tube sticks that they use for that purpose. We mentioned that it means any kli shoris, but those are small and easier to steal. So goinav is a kasva, and we see that again that kanoim poigin boy. The answer is because it's not just any old kasva. Ha'omer Rabbi Yehuda b'chlei shoris askinan. We're talking about he stole one of the clay shoris uramiza, and the remez for it in the Torah that he's chayiv misa is the pasuk says at the end of Parashas Bamidbar v'lo yavoyu liras kivalas hakodesh. They should not come to see when the kodesh is being swallowed up, meaning hidden away. So like we talked yesterday, in context, the Pasuk is talking about that the Levim shouldn't be there when the Kohanim are wrapping up the clay shoris to travel. They should come in only after they're wrapped up and ready to go. But we also learn from that people should not come in to wrap up and steal the clay shoris and hide them away. Vamesu, and the Pasuk finishes off that if they do, they will die. So, which is Misa B'dei Shemayim. So again, therefore we see. So again, they are in fact Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. And therefore, we have a valid reason to say that Kanoim Poigin Boy. Here you have, according to the Ran, the vote would be that once we have some kind of remez in the Torah for the fact that such a person is Chayav Misa, by understanding the word Kivala to mean stealing, then the Gemara is fine with the idea that you can have that now we human beings can take matters into our hands and cause him to die now, this death that eventually he would have gotten of Kores anyway for this, or Misa B'dei Shemayim that he would have gotten for this. And in any case, we also talked about yesterday that Ramban actually counts this stealing clay shoris as actually one of the 613 mitzvahs against the Rambam, who holds that no, that since the Gemara says it's only a remez, and it means it's just one of the things that are learned with the Yud Gimel Midas Shatur and Adreshes Behem or something, and it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, that Ramban disagrees with that. Okay. What about Vahama Kalalas HaKoisim, it says on the side over here. What about the case of a person who curses Hashem using the name of a Koisim, which we talked about previously, means a magician or Avodah Zarah or whatever? So again, there he's not chayav misa for that on the face of it, and yet that was another case of kanoim poigin boy. The answer is again, hatani Rabbi Yosef yakach kosim as kosmoi. We said that Rabbi Yosef taught a brisa. It means, and we're not just the Gemara had assumed that maybe makalol as a kosim means that he's cursing somebody else using a name of avodah zarah or using a name of a magician, and there's no trace of a chiyuv misa in there. So the answer is no, because Rabbi Yosef had explained that it means. There is an expression that he uses Hashem's name in there. He says the kosim should strike kosmoi, the one who gives him the ability to do ksamim, which is Hashem, which means the demechzikim mevorach has Hashem. So therefore, that at least has the appearance of mevorach has Hashem. It does have, it's a certain semblance of cursing Hashem, even though, again, he didn't do it in the classical way that we learned earlier in the Masechta, where he uses one name of Hashem against the other. But again, once, so therefore, so there's enough of a basis to say that he should be chayav misa for such a thing, that he should be chayav misa b'deshamayim or kores for such a thing that now, that now. Now the Gemara is not bothered by the idea that now people are going to take the law into their own hands, and the kanoim are going to be poigin by. Okay, so still no proof. So still no proof one way or the other about Rav Sheshis's din. Maybe the Koyin Shashimish Batuma is not Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim, like Rav Sheshis says, and yet. And therefore Kanoim Purgim, but because otherwise he's going to get away with it. But so far, the other cases of the Mishnah are all cases where any of the last couple of Mishnayos are all cases where a person is not Chayiv, is in fact Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. There is some basis to say that he's Chayiv Misa, and therefore that basis in or the Kanoim can take matters into their own hands. All right, the Gemara says, "V'ha'boil." What about the case of a Yid who has relations with a Goita, where again Kanoim Purgim boy? And on the face of it, he's not otherwise chayav misa for it. And the answer is chayav misa. We have the story that we learned yesterday that Rav Kahana had asked Rav, what happens if there's no kanoyim to be pegeya in him? And Rav forgot what he had learned on that. And that night, Rav Kahana had a dream where he was told a posik in Malachi that's relevant to this. And then Rav remembered what he had learned, and he darshan the posik and explained over there what the punishment of such a person is, that he's chayav Chorus Medivri Kabbalah, and that there are other consequences as well. So again, so he's Chayav Chorus, so therefore that gives a basis for the Kanoim to be Pagea boy. All right, the Gemara says Esve. So now, so fine. So we haven't yet shown that there's a case, that there's any case in the Mishnayos where he's not Chayav Misa, and yet we're Kanoim Purgim boy. But maybe the Kohen Shishimish Betumah is an exception to that. Maybe, in fact, like Rav Shesha said, he's not Chayiv Misa and yet Kanoim Purgim Boy, because otherwise he's going to get away with it. So now, Eisvei, so now Rav Acha Bar Huna asked Rav Sheshis, I have a contradiction from the following Mishnah. Now, at the end of Masechta Zvachim, which we'll start learning Zvachim and Elul of this year, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue it during the in the coming year. At the end of it, it talks about, we know that all the avodas that are done inside the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to do them outside the Beis Hamikdash. A person takes a korban and shechts it outside the Beis Hamikdash, for example, he's chayav kores, so he sprinkles the blood or does various other avodas. So a Mishnah lists there what kind of things, if he does them outside the Beis Hamikdash, he's not going to be chayav kores. So the Mishnah says, "Hayotzik." If a person pours oil on the korban mincha, which is one of the stages of making a korban mincha. A typical korban mincha consists of flour and oil, and one of the early stages of it is you take the oil and pour it on the flour, and then you continue from there. A number of the things that we're going to list in this mission over here are various parts of bringing a korban mincha. So ayotzik v'aboilo, or he mixes the oil into the korban mincha, v'apoisis, or certain korbanos mincha are baked or fried, and then afterwards you have to break them up into pieces. We'll learn about it eventually when we get to Masechta Menachos Be'ez Hashem. We'll learn about the details of that. Hamileach, or he salts the korban. He salts the korban mincha or any other korban. Hamenif, if he waves it, because a korban mincha, a certain korbanos mincha have to be waved. Hamagish, he touches it to the corner of the Mizbeach, which is when you bring a Korban Mincha after the Mincha is mixed together and everything has been prepared. You bring the keli that contains the Mincha to the Mizbeach. You touch it to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and then the Kohen does Kmitza. So he does any of those things. Now the kmitza itself we're going to mention afterwards, but meanwhile, another case, a person arranges the lachem aponim on the shulchan, or he prepares the lamps of the menorah, or he does kmitza of the mincha. V'amakabel domim, or where he receives the blood, so not he shechts the korban, but he shechts it inside the azara, let's say, but then he goes and receives the blood outside the azara. Bachutz, if he does any of these things outside the Beis Mikdash, potter, then he's potter from kores. So he's potter from kores because Rashi explains that we learn from Psukim, he's chayav kodesh for shechita and halah. He's chayav for shechting the korban and for offering it on a mizbeach. And then in addition, you have Psukim over there that imply, which we learn from the words dam shafach, that also if he sprinkles the blood. So all of these other ones. Now we learn from that. The Gemara explains in Zvachim, Rashi brings that all of the things that he'd be chayav kares for are all things that are gmar avoda, or they're all things where that's the last stage in the avoda. For example, the sprinkling of the blood at that point is in a certain sense the avoda of the korban is complete. Yes, you bring the emurim on the mizbeach afterwards, but that's not ma'akev. Even if you didn't bring the emurim on the mizbeach, they became tomei or they became lost or whatever it is, the korban is still kosher, because the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Whereas all the things we're mentioning over here, pouring the oil on the Mincha, or mixing it, or breaking it up, etc., all these things, there's an Avoda after them. The Avoda of the Korban is not complete yet. Tosfos discusses there are a couple of other things that are missing over here. We don't have Malika over here. The reason is because Malika, we learn from a different Pasuk. Since the Pasuk says, Asher Yishchat, that he shechts, that implies, but not that he does Malika. Then you have Tosfos points out also halacha is missing. You have where the kohen has to walk with the basin of blood over to the mizbeach. That we're not mentioning over here because the Gemara mentions in Zvachim. Conceivably, you could shecht next to the Beis Hamikdash and sprinkle right there without needing to walk it over. And in fact, we're going to learn in Zvachim when we get to it, Beis Hashem, that Reb Shimon in fact holds that halacha is not even possible if a zor does it for that reason. Then Tosfos points out that on the face of it, maybe you should also be mentioning putting oil on a wick into the menorah. Hetivus aneiros that we mentioned in the mission over here was cleaning them out. So why doesn't it mention putting in a new oil and wick? And he's also potter. So all these things that a person does them outside the Beis Hamikdash, he's also to do them. But if he does, he's not chayav kares. And the Mishnah continues. Furthermore, all of this list of things that we said in the Mishnah, if a Zor does one of them in the Beis HaMikdash, then he's not Chayav Misa for that. Now, what you have is, we know as Vazor HaKorev Yumas, as the Pasuk says over and over in Chumash Devarim, that if a Zor comes close and does the Avoda, then he's Chayav Misa. However, Rashi explains, based on a Gemara and Yuma, that the only kinds of things for which a zor would be chayev is only avoda tama, only an avoda that itself is a complete avoda in itself, meaning that there's not another avoda after it. All the other things that we said over here, there's something after them. He prepares the mincha, for example. The knitza of the mincha has yet to be done. He shecht the korban anyway. A zor is actually allowed to shecht the korban to begin with, but he puts the lachem upon him on the shulchan. That's not the last avoda that has to be done with the lachem upon him. The last thing is you take the spoonfuls of ketores on there and burn them on the mizbeach, and the same thing with each of the other ones. After meitiv asaneris, they yet have to be lit. After doing kabbalah of the blood, there has to still be sprinkling. So each of those is not called avoda tama. It's called avoda shiyesh acharei avoda. You have the expression, by the way, you have the expression in Tanya and in other places in Chassidus, avoda tama, in the sense of our avoda to Hashem being a perfect avoda. That's borrowed from this context in halacha, where avoda tama means an avoda that in itself is complete, and there's nothing else that has to be done after it with this particular korban. Anyway, so because of that, a Zohar does any of these things that we listed in the Mishnah inside the Beis Mikdash, he'd be potter from Kodesh. The loy mishum tuma. By the same token, if the kohen is tomei when he does any of these things, then he's also not chayav misa for it. Because the same thing, if a zohar is not chayav for it, then a kohen who's tomei is not chayav for it. Basically, Rashi explains in some detail over here that we learn it from the same pasuk. So what applies to one applies to the other. Tosfos actually brings up the point that, wait a minute, if he did the avoda when he's tomei, means he went into the Beis Mikdash when he's tomei. And anyway, he's chayav kores for that. So what does the Mishnah mean? That he's not chayav kores because of doing the avoda b'tomei. He should be chayav kores for going into the Beis Mikdash tomei. So Tosfos explains that you could be talking about that he became tomei inside the Beis Mikdash, and he went out as fast as possible. We're going to learn in Masechta Shavuos in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, actually closer than that. It's going to be shortly after Pesach. We're going to start learning Masechta Shavuos. We're going to talk about the case where a person became tomei in the Beis Mikdash. The din is he has to leave the Beis Mikdash by the fastest possible, by the shortest possible route. But it is conceivable that meanwhile, as he's walking out by that shortest route, he could conceivably do an avoda as he's walking. So then he's not chayav kares for that because he went out by the fastest possible route, but nevertheless he still did an avoda. So we're saying over here that he wouldn't be chayav kares for that. So the Mishnah continues. V'loy mishum mechusa b'godim. If the kohen did any of these avodas that we listed in this Mishnah without the proper number of clothes, 4 for a kohen hedya, 8 for a kohen gadol, then he wouldn't be chayv misa for it. V'loy mishum rechutz yadayim v'raglayim, and also not if he failed to wash his hands and feet from the kiyur. In this week's parasha, you have the expression in the pasuk, "Varochtu yadeim ragleim v'lo yamosu." They have to wash their hands and feet so that they don't die. Meaning that if they do the avoda without washing their hands and feet, then they're chayav misa. But all of these avodas, again, because they're not avoda tama, because they're all avoda sheyesh achrei avoda, then therefore he's potter from misa for that. So here Tosfos goes on to discuss why shouldn't they be chayav misa just for the fact that they went in and did, and then they went in without a purpose, and that itself would make them chayav misa, and Tosfos discusses that point a little bit. In any case, so thus far the Mishnah. Now, says Rav Acha bar Huna to Rav Sheshes, where he wanted to use this Mishnah to ask on him. Again, Rav Sheshes had said that a person serves in the Beis Mikdash, a Kohen serves in the Beis Mikdash when he's Tomei, he's not Chayiv Misa for it, just that the Kohenim can kill him for it. So we had a long list of avoda. Ha Mekater, now implying though, if you were to take the koimetz of the Mizbeach and burn it on the Mizbeach, for example, Chayiv, then it sounds like the Mishnah would say he's Chayiv Misa. My lav, so it sounds like he's chayav. What would he be chayav? My lav misa. Wouldn't we say that he's chayav misa? Because that's an avoda tama. There's nothing else that has to be done with the mincha afterwards. So you say, if you say he's chayav, what else is he be chayav? Is he going to be chayav if not misa? So how can you, Rav Sheshes, say that if the kohen served in the Beis Mikdash when he's tomei and did an avoda tama, he's not chayav misa? It seems from this Mishnah only if he did an avoda that's not tama, then he's not chayav misa. But if there was a if he burnt the koimetz on the mizbeach, he's chayav misa for it. So the answer is loy. No, Rav Sheshes' answer doesn't necessarily mean he's chayiv misa, but azhara just means that there's a warning, meaning that he's over on a lav if he burns the koimetz on the mizbeach when he's tomei. So the Gemara says, elazor. So what are you going to say about a zor? Nami lazhara. You're going to say it means only that he's over on a lav and there's no misa. V'aksiv azora korev yumas. Doesn't the pasuk say a zor comes close and does the avoda? Then he's chayiv misa. So if the Zohar is chayiv misa for example, for bruning the koimetz on the mizbeach, shouldn't a koyin who's tomei also be? The Mishnah is mentioning them together, and the answer is no. Hokideisa v'hokideisa. No, each one has its rules as it is. The Zohar does certain avodas; he's chayiv misa, and the koyin who's tomei does certain avodas; he's not chayiv misa. He's only chayiv. He's only over on a lav. All right, the Gemara says. McLeod, the Yotzik of Bolo, not Lav Nami Loi. So then what would be the implication? You'd be saying, by a Zor, if he actually burns the Komet, then he's Chayav Misa. If he were to pour oil on the Mincha or mix it, then he'd be then he wouldn't be Chayav Misa for it. So then, if you're going to tell me what the Kohen, with the maximum penalty for him doing Betumah, is even for an Avodah Tama, is Misa, then if the Mishnah is saying that there's a distinction between that and the other ones, the pouring of the oil and the mixing of the Mincha, that would imply that there's no lav at all, because that would be the flow of the Mishnah pointed of Sheshes. That when it comes to Yotzik and Bolo and the whole long list of things that said he'd be potter, meaning according to Rav Sheshes, he'd be potter completely, he's not even over on a lav. Then, if he was, on the other hand, the implication is, but if he did an avodah tama, such as bruning the koimetz on the Mizbeach, then he'd be chayev, meaning he'd be chayev a lav, he'd be chayev malchus. The problem with that is, v'hotanya, we learn in a braisa, as hora l'yotzik u'boilo minayin, where is there a warning in the Torah, where is there a lav for a koyen who's tomei pouring oil on the mincha or mixing it? Tamad loyma, therefore the pasuk says, kedoshim yiyu, the pasuk says they should be holy to Hashem, v'lo yichalalu, and they should not desecrate the name of Hashem. So meaning, in other words, that they shouldn't desecrate the korbanos by doing anything with them when they're tomei. So you see that there is a lav. So therefore, according to Rav Sheshes, his logic, then what would be the what would be the flow of the Mishnah? The Yotzik and the Bolol and that whole long list of avodas would be over on a lav. And when he's tomei, he's also when he's tomei and when he's tomei and bruning the koimetz on the mizbeach would also be a lav. Then what's the distinction that the Mishnah is making? And Rashi points out that since we already have, and there's a different pasuk that says that when you're talking about an avodah tama, that he's also to do it. So therefore, necessarily, this pasuk v'lo yichalalu must be talking about things that are not an avodah tama, but nevertheless, they're still part of the avodah. So the one answer is no, midrabanan across machta ba'alma. Fine, you could still say that it means that all these things is also dirabanan for him to do, but it's only an asmachta, it's actually midaraisa that he should be also to do it and that he should be chayev misa for it. So still no proof. However, the Gemara says Meisvi. However, I have a contradiction because the Braisa says the Elu Hein Shemamisa, the following people are Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim, and it gives a list, which now the Gemara is next going to go analyze this Braisa in detail. But one of the ones on the list is Tomei Shashimish, a Kohen who's Tomei who does the Avoda. So that clearly shows that such a Kohen is in fact Chayim Misa. So the Gemara says, you're right, Kyofta. Okay, well, that's it. Then we have a contradiction on Rav Sheshes, and the result is therefore that in fact a Kohen who does the Avodah when he's Tomei is in fact Chayev Misa B'dei Shemayim. So not like Rav Sheshes, who says that he wouldn't. In fact, he is Chayev Misa B'dei Shemayim, and therefore, because of that, therefore the Kohenim have the right to not wait until he gets Misa B'dei Shemayim, but rather to take matters into their own hands and beat him up and kill him, as we said in the Mishnah. So now let's get into that braisa and talk about the various cases where a person is chayav misa b'nei shemayim. So the Gemara says gufa. So getting back to what we said before, let's quote this braisa in full. The elu shebemisa, the following people are chayav misa b'nei shemayim. Now this list that the Mishnah, that the braisa is going to give, is not the end of the list. There are, in fact, we often have, the Gemara points out, ton of a shire, we often have that a Tana will leave out things, and here, Mephoshim point out that it's so. The braisa is going to give us a list, but nevertheless, there are many other cases of a person who's chayav misa b'nei shemayim that are not on this list. So ha'oichel satevel. The first one is a person eats tevel where truma and meiser have not been taken out from it. V'koyin tomei she'ochol truma tahora. The second one is a koyin who's tomei who eats truma that's tahor. Now Tosfos deals with the question later on that. that if he's tomei, as soon as he touches the truma, he's going to make it tomei. So there's a what's a case where he eats truma that's tahor? And there's a couple of answers. One of them being that you could have somebody sticks it down his throat. Somebody puts it on a long stick, for example, and sticks it down his throat. So he never touched it with the outside of his body. Therefore, he wasn't metamei it. But nevertheless, he himself is tomei. Another possibility is where the truma was never mukshel the kabel truma. It never became wet with one of the shiva mashkin. So therefore, it remains tahor even as he handles it, but nevertheless, he is tummy. Okay, the zor sheochas truma. The next one is a zor who eats truma. The zor sheshimish, a zor does the avoida in the Beis Hamikdash. Certain specific avoidas, like we said before, we had a long list of avoidas for which a zor wouldn't be chayav misa. But we said that any avoida tama, any avoida which is the last one, is something that he'd be chayav misa for. The Kohen, the Tomei Sheshimish, also a Kohen who's Tomei who served in the Beis Hamikdash. This is what we just said. We slogged up Rav Sheshes with this. We see that he is Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. Utvul Yoim, also a Kohen who's Tvul Yoim. He toivled from his Tuma, but he hasn't yet had Head of Shemesh. Tosfos on Amud Beis has a long discussion over the point that on the face of it he's still tomei to a certain extent. So why do we need him listed separately? Then he's still tomei to a certain extent, and therefore automatically he should be included in the koyin tomei. And then Tosfos discusses in some detail over here, because there are, after all, other psukim that imply that he's tahor. So he is to a certain extent tahor after all. The very beginning of brachas it talks about, when you have over there, when it says that when can you say kriyishma mishosha koinim chnosin lechol b'srumasan, from when koinim are able to go and eat their truma. And the Gemara explains over there that because since the pasuk says roha shemesh v'tahor, the pasuk says when the sun goes down, then he's tahor. It doesn't mean he becomes tahor as soon as the sun sets. It means that tahor yoima, that means the day is completely, the sky is completely cleansed of light, and only then he becomes fully tahor and he can eat truma. But on the other hand, we could eat, so therefore that implies that until then, until the head of Shemesh, he still has a degree of Tumah. On the other hand, Tosfos points out that we could have understood the word V'tahor, as the Gemara mentions, the possibility over there. It means that as soon as the sun sets, he's completely Tahor. And therefore, so you could learn that way, so you wouldn't know that he still has a degree of Tumah, and therefore we have to list Tvul Yom separately. Okay, so in any case, he serves in the Beis Hamikdash after he toivled, but before head of Shemesh, then also he's Chayiv Misa. Also, if he's lacking the number of clothing that he has to wear, again, the Kohen Hedyot, as we have from last week's parasha, has to wear 4 begodim, a Kohen Gadol 8, and if he wears any less than that, then he's Chayiv Misa. Also a Kohen who was Tomei and has even had head of Shemesh, but has not yet brought his Korban. You have a Zov, a Zov and a Metzora. So they still have a stage of their time. They go through multiple stages to become completely Tahor. And the last stage is they have to bring korbanos. So now, a Kohen did the avodah before he brought those korbanos, then he's Chayiv Misa. V'shaloi rochatz yadayim v'raglayim. Also, where he didn't wash his hands and feet from the kiyor, and he does the avodah. So here's where Tosfos points out, by the way, as we talked about before, that if he goes into the heichel without washing his hands and feet, then never mind the fact that whether he did avoida or not, just the fact that he went in without washing his hands and feet itself should make him chayiv misa. And then Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. Even though the pasuk says bevoyom al oyom moed, etc., maybe it only means when they go in to do the avoida. The next one on the list is Shuya Yayin, a Kohen who's drunk, who drank at least a revius of wine or other intoxicating drinks and does the avoda, is Chayav Misa. Or Prue Rosh, and the last one is Kohenim, who did not cut their hair within the last 30 days, they do the avoda, then they're Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. So again, this is all. This is not an exhaustive list. And Mefoshim point out there are a number of other examples. Later in the next perek, we're going to learn a couple of examples involving Nevi'im, for example, where the Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. For example, a Navi who holds back his Nevuah and doesn't tell it, or a person who disobeys a Navi. You have a couple of examples over there. And then you have the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva brings even more cases where the Torah says a person is chayav misa b'dei shemayim, person who mistreats an almana, for example. So the list in our brisa is not meant to be exhaustive. As the Gemara often says, Tana v'shayer, the Tana mentioned things and he left out other things that he didn't list. Okay, so now the brisa continues. Avol, oral, but if a koyan does the avoda when he's an oral. Now, throughout Shas, you have two different types of oral. You can have a person who's an oral because he refuses to have a bris milah. So that's cool. That he can't do the avoda because, well, neither one can do the avoda. But that's not the category we're talking about over here. Such a person is called mumur l'davar echad. He's decided that a certain mitzvah doesn't apply to him. It means that, as far as that mitzvah is concerned, in a certain sense, he's ois yid. He's not considered a full yid as far as that mitzvah. Here we're talking about he's an oral, not because it's his own fault, but because his brothers, he had elder brothers who died after their bris milah, and the din is therefore we can't give him a bris milah until we know he'll be able to survive it. That hemophilia in the family or whatever disease it is, that therefore we can't have a bris. Nevertheless, he still can't do the avodah. So an oral does the avoda, v'oinen, or he's an oinen, his relative, one of his close relatives, just passed away and hasn't been buried yet. V'yoshev, or if he does the avoda when he's sitting, he's supposed to be standing. So those three, einen b'misa, those three, he's not chayav misa, v'dei shemayim, el ba'az hora, those, there's only a lav against doing. What about another case, Baal Mum? What about if a Baal Mum does the avoda in the Bais Mikdash? Rebbe Omer b'Misa. Rebbe says, "Habichai Misa v'Dei Shemayim." Macham and Baz Hara. The Chum say it's only a warning. It's only a lav. Similarly, Hizid b'Meila. If a person deliberately did Meila, he took something of the Bais Mikdash and used it deliberately, and then was something of Hekdash and used it for his own purposes, knowing that it belongs to Hekdash. Rebbe Omer b'Misa. Macham and Baz Hara. Again, Rebbe says he's going to be Chai Misa v'Dei Shemayim for that, and the Chum say there's only an azhara, there's only a lav, and therefore only malchus for that. Okay. So let's go through this braisa now and show with each one of these things where we see that he is or isn't chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, as the case may be. So the first one, ha'oichal sa tevel menolam. Where do we see that a person eats tevel that he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim? So the da'om ha'shmu, m'shum rabbi liyazer, minayin la'oichal. I mean, whenever it says Mishum, by the way, as we've learned before, means it's not direct. It didn't learn it directly from him. Shmuel was born long after Rabbi Eliezer had passed away. So he's saying that there's a chain. There would be a chain, which the Gemara is not quoting over here, which eventually traces back to Rabbi Eliezer. Anyway, minayin la'uchal sa tevel shobu misa. How do we know a person eats tevel that he's chayav misa b'nei shemayim? Dichtiv, the pasuk says v'lo yichalalu es kodshe b'nei Yisrael. They should not desecrate the holy things of the Jewish people, this that they're going to lift up to Hashem. So what we mean is, why the expression asher yorimu, that they will lift up, the pasuk is talking about things that are going to be lifted up, meaning here it's tevel, and they haven't yet lifted up and taken out the truma, or designated the truma out of it. So therefore, lo yichalalu, they're not allowed to eat it, meaning that you can't eat it at that point. And the yalef chilul mitruma, and we learn by Xeda Shava of the word chilul from what it says about truma. By truma, it also says, just like where it talks about a koyan who's tome, who eats truma, that at that was another one in the braisa that we said is chay misa b'dei shemayim, and there the pasuk says they should not eat it when they're tome, or mesuvoy, they would die because of it, ki chalaluhu, because they desecrate it. So therefore, so we have Xeda Shava, malahalan b'misa, afkan b'misa. Just like a Koyan Tomei who eats Truma Tehoira is Chayav Kodesh, so is a person, not Kodesh, Misa B'dei Shemayim, so is a person who eats Tevel is also Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. So Gemara says, why are we learning from there? The Nelef Chilu Chilu Mi Noiser, why don't we instead learn by Noiser, also the Pasuk says, Kies Kodesh Hashem Chilu, and say Malahalan B'Kodesh Afkan B'Kodesh, and then you would say that just like a person eats Noiser, leftovers from a korban beyond the time, is Chayav Kodesh, maybe then Zeta Shava would tell us that a person eats Tevel is also Chayav Kodesh, and not Misas Beistin, and not Misa B'Dei Shemayim, rather. And the answer is, it's more logical, it's more logical that we're going to learn from Truma. Shekain, because you have a number of similarities between Tevel and a Kohen, between Tevel and a Kohen and Tomei who eats Truma that you don't have with Noisim. First of all, Truma, both of them involve Truma, because one is where the Truma is Tomei, where the person is Tomei and he eats Truma, and the other one, the whole point of Tevel is that Truma hasn't been taken out of it yet. Also, chutzalaretz. Both of them apply only in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to noiser in principle. In principle, noiser applies anywhere in the world. Now, what does that mean? A korban can be eaten only in the Beis Hamikdash or only in or only in Yerushalayim, as the case may be. But Rashi explains that. What you have is noiser, in other words, in the time, for example, in when they were in the Midbar, then they still had the concept of noiser. They weren't in Eretz Yisrael yet, and the concept of noiser still applied. So we see that noiser is not limited in principle to Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Truma. They weren't taking Truma when they were in the desert, only after they entered Eretz Yisrael and conquered and divided it. So that's another similarity between Tevel, with the whole concept of Tevel that only applies when they come into Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Noisu who existed in Chutz Laaretz as well. Another point, Hutra, both of them, there is a heter for it, because in the case of Tevel, you have to take out the Truma and Maisa from it. In the case of the person who's Tomei, he toivels and has a head of Shemesh, and then he can eat Truma, as opposed to Noisu. Once it becomes also as Noisu, then there's no heter for it. Another point, Barabim. Another point is that both of them, it says the word chilul is in plural, yichaleluhu and yichalelu, as opposed to by noiser, the expression is chilel, which is in the singular. Another point, peiros, truma and tevel both apply to produce. Noiser applies to the meat of a korban. Another point, pigul, that you have the concept of pigul with a korban, but whereas by truma and tevel you have no such thing. Pigul we'll learn about extensively in Masechta Zvachim when we get to Epes Hashem. It means where the person doing one of the four basic avodas of the korban had a thought of called chutz l'zmanoi, where he intends to sprinkle the blood or eat the meat or burn the things on the mizbeach outside of the time that it's supposed to. So then it's pigul, and a person eats it as chayiv kares, as opposed to. And pigul applies to korbanos. It doesn't apply to truma. It doesn't apply to tevel. And the last one, the noiser, and the whole point of noiser applies only to kodshim. It doesn't apply to truma or to tevel. So we have seven similarities between truma and tevel that are different. Each one of them is different than noiser. So the Gemara asks, "Adrabam, so that on the other hand, maybe we should learn from noiser and say that he's chayiv kares. Chicane, because we have similarities also between Tevel and Noser. Psul Oichil, in both cases, the psul is regarding the food. In the case of Tevel, that Truma hasn't been taken out of it yet. In the case of Noser, that was left over beyond the time, as opposed to a Tomei who eats Truma, there's nothing wrong with the Truma itself. There's something wrong with the Koyan. He's Tomei. Ein loy heter b'mikveh, and also there's no heter for either one of them with the mikveh. When it comes to truma again, all he has to do is toivel, and then he needs head of shemesh as well, and then he'll be able to eat. Whereas tevel and noiser, you can't fix up things by doing anything with a mikveh. So you have two similarities between tevel and noiser. So maybe we should learn from a gzeira shava that a person eats tevel as chayiv kares. And the answer is Hanach Nefishan. The answer is still you have seven similarities between Truma and Tevel, and only two between Noiser and Tevel. So seven is more than two. So therefore, it's more logical that we're going to learn the Gzeira Shava that way. Ravina Omar, Ravina gives a different answer. You don't need seven versus two. Chilul derabim, chilul derabim odif. Out of all those things, we said that the fact that it says yichaleluhu by one and yichalelu by the other, which both of them are plural, that beats the fact that by noiser it says that by noiser it says chilul in the singular. And therefore, in general, Gzeira Shava is supposed to be, the words are supposed to be as similar as possible. So therefore, Ravina says here, where you have a greater similarity between the words by Truma and Tevel, where both of them are in plural, then that beats the fact that then that alone is enough to override the point of not learning from Noiser, where by Noiser you have the word Chilul in the singular. And therefore we're not going to learn from Noiser, therefore we're going to learn from Truma, and therefore there's only Misvedei Shemayim, there's no Kares. So, okay. Tosfos points out over here that actually the V'lo Yechallelu by Tevel in fact has a certain relationship to Noisu as well, but basically it is referring to Tevel. There's a particular din in Noisu that we learn from it. So that covers how we know that a person who eats Tevel is Chayav Misa B'Din Shamayim. In short, we're learning it from a Gzeira Shava regarding Truma. All right, the next one in the Braisa, a Kohen Tomei she'ochal Truma Tahora Minolon. We said that a Kohen who's Tomei and eats Truma that's Tahor is Chayav Misa B'Din Shamayim. How do we know that? So the answer is De'omar Shmuel Minayin LaKohen Tomei she'ochal Truma Tahora Shehu B'Misa B'Din Shamayim. How do we know that point? Dichtiv, the pasuk says V'Shomruas Mishmauti, that the Kohenim should guard my thing that's supposed to be guarded, namely my Truma. V'Lo Yisu all of Chet V'Gomer, they should not bear a sin when they, because of it. And the pasuk continues U'Meisu V'Ki Chaluluhu, that they would die because of it, which was Misa B'Din Shamayim, if they mechalal it. So therefore, they're chayiv misa b'dei shamayim for eating it when they're tamei. So now truma now tmeya ain't now tahora ain't tmeya loy. Now what we're saying is, if the kohen himself is tamei, then he's only chayiv misa b'dei shamayim if the truma that he ate was tahor, but not if the truma itself was tamei. This is, you should know, by the way, with the Gemara is mentioning, by the way. Since we're talking about that a Kohen Tome eats Truma Tahora, is Chayav Misa B'Din Shamayim, but if he were to eat Truma Tmeya, he would not be Chayav Misa B'Din Shamayim for that. Why is that? D'Amar Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, because based on another statement that Shmuel says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. It's interesting, before we had Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, here we have Shmuel Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Which again would sound like it means that he's saying directly. There's a different girsa on the side of it here that says Rabbi Lazar, but that doesn't really help much either. Rabbi Lazar ben Shamor also passed away long before Shmuel was born, and Rabbi Lazar the Amora was himself a Talmud of Shmuel, and Shmuel is not going to be saying in his name. Anyway, so Shmuel says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, how do we know that if a Kohen Tomei ate Truma that is also Tomei, that he's not Chayav Misa for it? He is over on a lav, and he's going to get Malkus for it, but he's not Chayav Misa. Shenema, because the pasuk says, they will die because of it, because they desecrate it. Therefore, prat lazushim uchulados vaymedes. So therefore, as opposed to this case where the Truma is already desecrated, it's already Tomei, so he's not Chayav Misa. So he's not chayav misa b'dei shamayim for eating it. And here's where Tosfos points out, how would he physically do that? Is, for example, somebody sticks it down his throat, or it's not mukshu l'kabal tuma yet. So if he himself is Tomei and the Truma is also Tomei, then he's not chayav misa b'dei shamayim for it, because anyway it's already mechulol, and therefore, and the pasuk is saying that only if he's mechalol it, then he's chayav misa. So the next one in the list was v'zor she'ochas truma. We said a zor ate truma, then he's chayim misa b'dei shemayim. So where do we see that from? So there's machlokas on that. Omar Rav, zor she'ochas truma loike. If a zor eats truma, then he's going to get malchus for it. Amri le Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav le mamar b'misa. Why Rebbe? Why don't we say that he's chayim misa for that misa b'dei shemayim? Now it is true that any case of Misa B'Din Shamayim, if he gets Malkus, he's potter from Misa. However, what Rav Kahana and Rav Asi are bothered by is why you're saying Loike, as if the maximum penalty he could get is Malkus, whereas according to the Braisa that we just quoted, then he should be getting Misa B'Din Shamayim. And then if instead Beis Din gives him Malkus, then fine, he's potter from Misa B'Din Shamayim. So why don't we say that he's chayav Misa B'Din Shamayim, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, and the pasuk says v'chol zor lo yoichal kodesh v'gomer. The pasuk says that a zor should not eat kodesh, and kodesh over there means truma. And since the pasuk says previously that if anybody eat, that people who eat truma when they're not supposed to The next pasuk, the pasuk says, so you have one, so like this, you have a pasuk that says that if they eat truma when they're not supposed to, umesuvoi, then they're going to die because of it, ki chaluhu, because they desecrate it. That's what we just learned. That's where we learned that a kohen who's tomei, who eats truma tahora, is chayim misiv dei shamayim. And then the next pasuk continues, v'chol zor lo yechol kodesh. Any zor should not eat kodesh. So why don't we say, therefore, that we have a hekesh between the two things, and therefore that means that a zor who eats truma is also chayim misiv. The answer is Ani Hashem Mekadshem Hifzik Inyan. Yes, but the first pasuk that says Umesu Voiki Yichaluhu continues. It says the next words in it are Ani Hashem Mekadshem. I Hashem am making them holy. So therefore, that makes it, that creates a break between Umesu Voi and Bechol Zer. So therefore, we don't have the hekesh that you're talking about. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction. We just learned in the Braisa before, Ve'elohen Shemimisa, Zor Ho'echol Satruma. So how can Rav say differently? So the Gemara answers back, Masnisa Ad Rav Karomis. Are you trying to bring up a contradiction from a Braisa to Rav? Rav, Tana Hu Polig. Rav is a Tana, and he's able to argue with Brysis. So he's like a semi-Tanna. We have in various places because Rav was actually in the transitional generation. He was one of the senior Talmidim of Rebbe. We learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, that he sat on Rebbe's Beis Din. And therefore, so he and the various members of his generation are all considered kind of honorary Tanoim, and therefore they have the ability to argue on Brisas. We don't find that they have the ability to argue on Mishnayos, but Brisas, many of the Brisas were collected and put together in their form, in the form that we have them, in Rav's times, and therefore he has the ability to argue on them. Okay. So it's a machlokas on that. The Braisa says that he's chayv misiv dei shamayim. Rav says that he's chayv only malchus. Next. The next one is the zor shishimish. A zor does the avoida in the mishmechtesh. It's chayv misa. Dichtiv azor akorev yomas. Because the pasuk says flat out, a zor comes close and does the avoida, then he's going to be put to death, which is misiv dei shamayim. The Tomei Shishimish, we said a Koyan who does the Avodah when he's Tomei. So we know that. Where do we know that? He's Chayiv Misa B'Deshamayim. He debominei Rav Chiya Ba'oven me Rav Yosef. As we find that Rav Chiya Ba'oven asked Rav Yosef, what is the source for that din? Minayim la Tomei Shishimish shu b'misa. How do we know a Koyan who's Tomei does the Avodah that he's Chayiv Misa? And the answer is Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, Dabar al Aaron vel Bonav, speak to Aaron and his sons, the Yinozru, and they should separate themselves. The Yinozru is from the same Shodosh as Nozir, and Nozir is separated from certain things that everybody else does. So the same way that the Yinozru means they should separate themselves, they should stay away, Mikodshe B'nei Yisrael, from the holy things of the Jewish people, meaning they should not be doing the Avodah involving the Kodshim of the Jewish people, V'lo Yichalalu Hashem Kodshi, that they should not desecrate my holy name. And then, so we have... So from there we see that they're not allowed to do the avoda when they're tamei. V'yalef chilo chilo mitzruma, and we do a gzeira shava on from truma, like we said before on Amud Aleph about tevel. That therefore, just like by truma, malahalam b'misa afkan b'misa. The same way as a kohen who's tamei eats truma is chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. The same way the kohen who's tamei does the avoda is chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. Therefore, there's misa b'dei shamayim by both of them. The Ran actually asked the question that anyway we said that the pasuk talks about a kohen who's tomei and does the avoda, and when it also talks about a zor in the same connection. So we just said that a zor is chayiv misa. So why do we need a zeda shava from truma when instead we could learn it from a hekesh with zor? And the answer is because when it comes to Kodshim, we have a special rule that says that we're going to learn about it in Zvachim, that when you have something that you learn with one of the Yud Gimel Midas, Shatur Nidreshes Behem, when it comes to Kodshim, you can't then learn from that second thing, a third thing, using that or different Midah. The Gemara is going to go extensively through it in Zvachim about the various permutations of that. So therefore, if we were to say that we're learning from a Hekish to from one thing to another, we wouldn't be able to learn from it with a Gzeira Shava to another din that we're going to need for later. But if we have a Gzeira Shava, then fine, to do one Gzeira Shava and then another Gzeira Shava, that we can do. So therefore, so we need a Gzeira Shava. So again, the question is, if we have a Gzeira Shava, then why are we learning from Truma, which is Misa B'Deshamayim, V'Neilach Chilul Chilul Minoiser, again, learn the Gzeira Shava from Noiser, and therefore say that a Kohen who's Tomei is Chayiv Kores, Malahalan Kores, Afkan Kores. And the answer is they're going to go through the same kind of thing, as we said before, where we have to consider how many similarities between them there are. Mistabra, Truma, Mistama, Mitruma, Havalei Lameilach, it's more logical to learn from Truma, Shekain, because you have a number of similarities between a Kohen who's Tomei, who eats Truma, and a Kohen who's Tomei, who does the Avodah. Guf, both of them need psulas in their guf, as opposed to Noiser, the psula is not in the guf of the person, but rather in the meat of the Korban. Tomei, in both of them, the issue is Tumah. Noiser, it's not Tumah, it's that it was left over. Mikveh, both of them can go to the mikveh, unlike Noiser. Barabim, both of them, you have the word Yechaleluhu in plural, Yechaleluhu in plural, as opposed to by Noiser is again in singular, is Chilel, like we said before. So you have four similarities between them. Well, the Gemara asks, "Adrabba mi noiser havalei lemelech." On the contrary, maybe we should learn the Kohen who's Tomei from Noiser, Shekein Kodesh, because there are a few similarities. Both of them are things involving Kodshim. Truma is holy, but it's not. Truma is holy, but it's not. But it's not. But it's not Kodshim. Pnim, both of them apply only in the Bais HaMikdash. Truma is anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Pigul, both of them are involving Korbanos, where there can be the concept of Pigul, as opposed to the concept of Pigul doesn't apply to Truma. V'noiser, and the concept of Noiser applies to both of them. So you have four similarities, and here, of course, it's four against four. So we can't say, like we said before, Hanach Nefishan, that one group is larger than the other. So now, why are we learning from Truma when instead we could learn from Noiser and his Chayiv Kares? And the answer is, like we said before, it's more logical to learn the Gzeira Shava, where both of them are in plural, Yechalalu and Yechaleluhu, rather than from Chilol, which is in the singular, because again, when it comes to a Gzeira Shava, as much as possible, we want to have the word be the same form, or more or less the same form. So that tells us, therefore, that a Kohen Tomei who does the Avodah is Chayiv Misa B'Deshamayim. Next, Tevul Yoyim Sheshimesh Menolon. How do we know that if a Tevul Yoyim does the Avodah, that is Chayiv Misa B'Deshamayim? And here's where Tosfos asks that a Tevul Yoyim is also Tomei. And so Tosfos discusses in some detail that actually there is reason to say to a certain extent he is Tohar, and therefore we need a spell, he is a weaker Tumah, and therefore we wouldn't consider him to be a Tomei relative to this unless we had a Pasuk to that effect. So the answer is Detani. We learn a Braisa, Reb Simoyim, Remez the Tvu Yoim Shim Ovad Chilol. Where is there a Remez in the Torah? And here we don't mean a Remez, it's just like a hint. Here it's definitely a Dindar Raisa. That if a Tvu Yoim does the Avoida Chilol, then he's desecrated the Avoida, meaning in other words, that his Avoida is possible. Minayin, how do we know that from? Talmud Lomar, the Apostle says, Kedoshim Yiulei Lekehem. They, the Kohanim, should be holy to Hashem. And they should not desecrate the name of Hashem. Now, says Reb Simoy, since we don't need this pasuk to teach us about where he's tomei and does the avoda, the nafkalon, because we already learned from we already learned mi v'yinozru, we already learned from the pasuk that it says yinozru that they should stay away from the kodshim as long as they're tomei. So we don't also need v'lo yichalalu for that. Then instead we use it for the Tevul Yoim. So we see from that that the Tevul Yoim, if he does the Avodah, is Mechalalit, causes that the Avodah is possible. And then once we know that, so then the Yalef Chilul Chilul Mitruma, now we do a Gzeira Shava from on it from it to Truma, Malahalan B'Misa, Afkan B'Misa, just like by Truma, he's Chayim Misa B'Dei Shemayim, so also if he's a Tevul Yoim and does the Avodah, he's Chayim Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Here the Gemara doesn't even ask that maybe he should be Chayiv Kares, because once we said if he's Tomei, then he's Chayiv only Misa Shemayim. We're certainly not going to say that a Tzvul Yoim that has a weaker kind of Truma should be Chayiv Kares. So therefore, necessarily, we can learn from Truma that he's Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. So, okay, Tosfos points out that in that case, then maybe if it's Vul Yom, it's Truma, he should be Chayim Misa, but he also needs Head of Shemesh. But Tosfos says maybe Takazo, it didn't list it in the Braisa, but maybe indeed so. On the other hand, Tosfos brings then maybe a discussion of why not. Maybe we'd say that if it's Vul Yom, it's Truma, maybe he's not Chayim Misa B'nei Shemayim. Okay, next. The next one was a Kohen who's lacking the proper number of begodim and does the avodim and nolan. Where do we know that he's chayv misa b'nei shemayim? Omer Abba Bohu, Omer Rabbi Yechanan. So Abba Bohu says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, umotu ba, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Some say that some say in the name of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon that like this. So the pasuk says about the bigli kohana last week's parasha, v'chagarta oisam avnet. The pasuk says that describes how Moshe is to dress the kohanim in the bigli kohana. And it says the last one for the Kohen Hedya is that you put the belt on them. And then the Pasuk says, V'hoysa lehem kohuna, that it becomes their kohuna, from which we learn, Bizman shebegdeim aleihem, kohunasim aleihem. Only when their begodim are on them is their kohuna on them. Then they're considered kohenim. Ain begdeim aleihem, but if they're not wearing their begodim, ain kohunasim aleihem, then their kohuna is not on them. Well, then, havolahu zorim. So there's a havolahu zorim. So, in effect, therefore, if they're not wearing the proper number of begadim, then they're considered zorim. Va'omamar zor shishimish b'misa. And as we said before, zor does the avoda, then he's chayiv misa. So, if they're not wearing the proper number of begadim, then in effect, they're considered a zor based on this pasuk, and therefore, they're chayiv misa. Tosfos points out that why do you need that? The pasuk clearly says that if they're not wearing their that if they're not wearing the begodim, then they're chayiv misa. So the answer is Tosfos says that that pasuk is talking about specifically the michnasayim. It says if they don't wear the michnasayim, then the pasuk says that they're chayiv misa. V'lo yisu oven v'mesu. So by the michnasayim, if they're missing that, then we would say that they're chayiv misa. We wouldn't know about any of the other clothing. So therefore, and on the other hand, the michnasayim is not listed in the pesukim there in connection with v'hoysa lahem kohuna. So therefore, we need both pesukim. And then Tosfos goes on to point out that maybe you could say again that maybe the point is that by Mechnasayim, it means just the fact he goes into Oyel Moed without Mechnasayim. And for that alone, he's Chayav Misa. If he goes into the Heichel, then he's Chayav Misa. But Tosfos says, no, not really, because as they discussed before, just for going into the Heichel without washing their hands and feet or without the proper number of begadim, not necessarily the Chayav Misa for that. Okay, but in any case, if they don't have their begadim on them, then we say to that extent, they're not considered kohenim, and therefore now if they do the avoda, then there's zorim, and as we learned before, zor is chayiv misa. Next. Umchoser kapara. What about we said a kohen who's lacking kapara? He was a zav or a metzora, and he's had tevila, and he's had head of shemesh, but he hasn't yet brought his korban. Menolon. How do we know that he's chayiv misa for doing the avoda at that point? So the answer is Amar Avuna de Amar Kra, because the pasuk says by a yeledes, by a woman who gave birth, the pasuk says v'chiper al ha'koyin v'tahera. The koyin should bring a kapara for her, and she is tahor. Tahera miklal she itmea. So therefore, so if it says tahera implies that up until now she was considered to be to a certain degree a tmea. And as we said, a kohen who does the avoda when he's tamei is chayav misa. So from that we can learn that a mechusik kiporim in the cases of a zav or a metzora, or in the case of a woman, a zav or a yeledes, who hasn't brought their korban, is still considered tamei to some extent. Okay. Next, how do we know that if he didn't wash his hands and feet and does the avodah, he's chayiv misa? Because the pasuk says in this week's parasha, when they come into the oil moed, they should wash their hands with water and feet with water, and they should not die. So therefore, so bevoyim al oyel moed doesn't just mean they come into the oyel moed. That's what Tosfos had discussed at some length before. Just coming into the oyel moed without washing their hands and feet would not make them chayav misa. Only actually doing the avoda without doing that. So therefore, they're chayav misa if they come in and do the avoda. So therefore, so we see that if they didn't wash their hands and feet, the pasuk is saying v'lo yamusu, they shouldn't die. So therefore, if they did it without that, then they are chayav misa. The next one was where they drank wine. Because the pasuk says, "Yain v'sheicher al teishvagemer." Don't drink wine or other strong drinks before you come into the oyel moed. And the pasuk continues, "V'loy samusu," and you won't die. So again, therefore, the implication is that if they do the avoda when they're drunk, then they're chayiv misa. Next, upruei rosh. How do we know? We said if they grow their hair long. So then, dichtiv, the pasuk says in Yechezkel. So this one we're learning from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Now, of course, in Yechezkel, Yechezkel can't make up new dinim. He's a Novi after Moshe Rabbeinu's times, but the point is that we can learn from him. He's writing down a din that was known before that, as the Gemara is going to point out afterwards, that sometimes we have dinim like that are part of Torah Shabbat Peh, and Yechezkel wrote them down for the first time. So the pasuk says, Roshim lo yigalechu, they should not shave their heads, the Kohenim, they shouldn't be like the Galochim, who shave their heads completely, or Fera lo yishalechu, but they should also not allow their hair to grow long, and then the pasuk continues, they should not drink wine. Therefore, itkash prua rosh l'shsuya yayin. Therefore, that gives us a hekesh between when their hair has grown long and when they drank wine. So we learn from that. The same way as if they drank wine, we just said, the Pasuk says in Chumash that they're chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, the same way we can learn that the prua rosh is also chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Now, you do have, the Ran points out, that after Nadav and Avihu passed away, Moshe tells Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, don't allow your hair to grow long, and don't tear your clothes, v'loy samusu. So right over there, you seem to have that if they do any of those things, then they're chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. So why do we need to learn from Yechezkel? So the Ran answer is because you could say in Vayikra is that right now the Ravelim, Nadav and Avihu, have just passed away, and therefore they shouldn't do, and but it's during the Chinuch, during the Vayihi Bayim Hashmini, it's on the eighth day of the Miluim, and it's the inauguration of the Mishkan, and therefore they shouldn't prava any Avelus. And if they do, then they're going to be Chayiv Misa. That doesn't show that in future generations, when it's not a matter of, when it's not a matter of Avelus, and in fact, by them, they're not even allowed to tear their clothes or do any of those things. Shaloi b'shas avoda. How do we know that in future generations that it applies, and that it applies even when it's not because of avelos and so forth? So for that we need the posuk to teach us that point. Marsha brings from Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam that says a different point that. Something along those lines, even though other Avelim are supposed to grow their hair, but you should not. But then he brings from the Ramban that says that no, that point that anybody else has to grow their hair long is only an asmachta, because the whole point that they have to grow their hair, that an oval grows his hair long, is only the Rabbanan. So, but still, if it weren't for the Pasuk of Yechezkel, you would think, again, it means only when they're Avelim, that they shouldn't prava Avelos, you wouldn't know without the Pasuk from Yechezkel that it applies even when there's no Avelos. So therefore, but from the Pasuk in Yechezkel, we can deduce the detail that the Torah didn't spell out, that it applies whether there's Avelos or not. Either way, they're not allowed to grow their hair long, and that there'd be Misa if they do, and therefore that they can't do that.